We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Chicago! Welcome to the Chicago Sports Podcast presented by PointsBet. Use that code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Kevin Kadick, head of content at CHGO. I'm joined as always by Luke Stuckmeyer. Casey Standahar and Lawrence Benedetto are also here. We check in with you every Thursday morning to talk about the week that was in Chicago sports and the week that will be. We've got a great show for you today. It's a crisp fall morning. I'm able to break out the hockey sweater finally as the Hawks open up camp. Luke's got a hoodie. Yeah, it's hoodie weather.
Hoodie season.
You gotta do it.
Lawrence has a hoodie.
Stay warm.
Oh, this is great.
We look great, Luke.
I had a large cold brew from Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm ready to go this morning.
Yeah.
I needed it.
I'm also drinking coffee.
Exciting week here at CHGO. The loss to the Packers aside, we've got our CHGO tailgate coming up on Sunday, and things are coming together. It's going to be at the corner of Michigan and Roosevelt. If you haven't got your tickets, make sure you get it. They're going quickly. We've got a good group out there, and $34 gets you in. All you can drink, all you can eat, games, entertainment, merch, giveaways. A lot of CHGO staff are going to be out there partying, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be awesome. Like you said, we're building up to this. This is going to be the highlight of the new week, right? We started low. We're going high. I'm going to stay positive this show for you because I've been a little negative here on this show early on. Today, I'm going to be Captain Positive. That's my promise.
Well, I have to say
Captain Positive, reporting for duty.
We're going to stay positive, but our main headline that we're talking about is the White Sox. And I sat here last week. And I said when we came back, the Sox were probably going to be in contention. I thought they were going to make a move. They did not make a move.
I tried to warn you about the sky, and I tried to warn you about the White Sox. But really, I've been telling the White Sox guys that here at CHGO since about the All-Star break, this doesn't feel right. You know, even though I had this sense of, they're in a bad division. Cleveland isn't really good. The Twins really aren't good. You have more talent than those teams. Something's been off about this team.
I can't imagine what's been off about this team for the last, I don't know, since November of, 2020?
Yeah, but you know what?
Just bad juju all around.
What could be wrong with this White Sox organization since November of 2020? I have no idea. What could it be?
Lawrence, it was a bad foundation. We all know that. But you can't blame all of it on hiring the wrong manager and making that mistake. I agree. It set a bad precedent. The foundation was messy at that point. Yeah. At some point, you got to blame the players for it, too. Like, they have not played well. Their defense is
terrible.
Horrific. Yeah. Their situational hitting isn't great. They just don't play sound baseball. And the Sox have to blow it up at this point.
Yeah.
I don't say you have to blow it up like total rebuild.
Right.
You got to do something because your farm system's not going to be the spark for this either.
So they lost the first two games against Cleveland this series to really take themselves out. They are six behind with 13 to go, effectively seven games out because Cleveland owns the tiebreaker. So, yes, it is over.
It's over.
look, we're not in a blowing it up situation, but I do agree with you. It's like you have to retool, and exactly what parts do you retool? Like, who do you choose? Who do you send on their way? I think we see other franchises kind of hit a wall, and you think, okay, that's it. And then they kind of make switches here and there, and the next thing you know, they're back in it. I mean, the Boston Red Sox over the last 15, 20 years come to mind. The Cardinals always seem to be able to do it. The Dodgers do it, although they have, you know, an empty pocketbook. The Mets have done it recently. So I'm not exactly sure. How open do you think the championship window is right now? Was it ever open?
Yeah, it's still open because there's a possibility. Like, anything can happen in baseball if you get in there. Now, are they the top three favorites to win the World Series? Like, right. some of the experts thought going into – no, we've seen it now. Like, and I always try to compare stuff – as a Cubs fan, I compare stuff to the Cubs. They're in a similar situation where the Cubs were a few years ago. They had a core that they thought could do it again, the Cubs. Mm. Now, the Sox haven't even won a playoff series, but I'm just talking about they had a good group of players, talented players. Something wasn't right.
So who's your untouchables on the White Sox roster? Who's not going anywhere, and who would
Dylan
you consider?
Cease, and that's it.
Dylan Cease, and that's it.
Not Luis Robert. To be perfectly honest, no. Yeah. Luis Robert hasn't proven it, and he's been hurt. If trading...
You'd just be selling low on all these guys right now, which is a
you
little
problematic.
But
let's put it this way. If
right?
trading Luis Robert means getting Shohei, done.
No, like, well, sure.
You can't say these guys are untouchable. If you can get Shohei Ohtani by trading,
right.
you know, Luis Robert and... You know,
the right deal.
I want to say that Cease is untouchable, but then again, I can't even say Cease is untouchable because he's had multiple opportunities to shut a team out here in huge games, and although he might win the Cy Young, he hasn't been able to do it. Don't get me wrong, great young pitcher. Like, he's the best pitcher they have, but you're going to have to make bold moves, and you're going to have to make the right moves in order to stop that window from closing right away.
You're going to have some more talent coming up. Their farm system isn't highly rated. You probably can't be spending $35 to $40 million on your bullpen again if you want to upgrade at other positions. To me, that's concerning. I don't know. We've seen the Sox pivot before, right? We talked about, like, it seemed like they hit a wall. Now, this is already like 18, 20 years ago, but with Maglio Ordóñez and Carlos Lee, you know, they got rid of those guys. Brought in, retooled for 2005. Maybe caught lightning in a bottle, if we're being honest. But, you know, like, you had to try different things. And that's one thing that Kenny Williams was always really kind of good at, was at pivoting, trying new things, and it did work out in 2005. Now, it hasn't worked out a lot since, but, like, what are you going to try this offseason? They need to be inventive. They need to take risks. I think that it's still there. I mean, Tim Anderson has only played in half the games this year. That's obviously a big deal. He is going to have to start playing full seasons. He hasn't played in a full season in what, since 2017? These guys have to stay healthy. Luis Robert has to stay healthy. I don't think Eloy's ever going to stay healthy. So if you're going to send anyone on his way, like, it's probably him.
I know that, like, Herb has already said to me, like, yeah, we'll give you Loy back. And I'm like, well, now wait a minute. In order to get what you need fixed, trading the guy that everybody obviously knows is the guy that you most likely would like to part with if you have to part with somebody,
right.
isn't necessarily the way to do it. You have to make difficult decisions. And who's making the decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Jerry? I don't know. Is it Rick Hahn? Is it Kenny? We still don't know the answer to that. Like, is it Tony La Russa? Is it another manager? Like, who's making those decisions and who's going to make... I think Rick Hahn is a guy, and you just said Kenny's done it in the past. I think Rick Hahn, if you actually give him the keys to the car, is willing to make that big move. You have to let him do it.
And I almost think you need to reframe expectations, because the way baseball is built right now, the way the playoffs are set up, winning the World Series is not maybe a realistic expectation. It can happen. You just need to keep on buying tickets to the dance, right? You need to get in year after year after year. Even a team like the Dodgers, who spends billions of dollars to chasing this, has won one in a pandemic year, right? So to me, it's like the White Sox really have to huddle back and say, okay, how do we become far and away a great organization that wins the AL Central year after year? How do we become the Atlanta Braves of the AL Central? Because you're in a division that should be eminently winnable. When the Cleveland Guardians go out and spend $35 million, you should be able to beat that team. You should not be looking up at them in the last week of September. Same thing with the Kansas City Royals and the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers.
They're in a small market division. Right. They should beat everybody all the time. Jerry should go out and spend the big money
right
when he has the opportunity. That didn't happen this offseason. Whether that was Jerry's decision or whether that was Rick Hahn or Kenny,
I think Jerry is disinterested at this point. I think a lot of people over the last 10 years have said Jerry wants one more before he goes. I'm not necessarily sure that's true. I think he wants to take care of his people. I think he wanted to right or wrong with Tony La Russa, and it blew up spectacularly.
Yeah, but that said, pretty much everybody went into the season knowing the Sox didn't make that move that everybody thought they were going to make to take them from contender to real deal. And it not only didn't do that, the other guys regressed, and the foundation started crumbling underneath them.
Yeah, it hurts. That was a real fun team to watch in 2020 in that pandemic year. They made the jump, and you thought, okay, they're going to bring in a kind of new school manager and take the next jump, and it just hasn't happened. And the fan base is pissed off, and they're going to be on the outside looking in. It's just not a good situation. Let's move on to Justin Fields. So last week, we were feeling pretty good about this dude. Everyone in Chicago is happy. We're looking at GIFs of him sliding.
They're gifts.
Now a week later, people are mad at Justin Fields, and we're having a referendum on whether or not he can be a quarterback in this league. I hate it here, Luke.
Well, this is going to happen. As Captain Positive, just expect this to happen the rest of the season, okay? Just let it happen. And Lawrence, by the way, I believe it's ifs. The G is silent.
It's ifs. Okay.
GIFs.
GIF.
I know.
GIF.
I say GIFs. Anyways.
You're correct.
I don't think we're going to be able to tell a whole lot about Justin Fields. What was alarming was people being able to go back, like Adam Hogan, show you some video and be like, whoa, this guy was wide open. All he had to do was throw it to him.
Right.
Here's the problem. He's so uncomfortable with throwing because they haven't let him throw the football, like 11 passes. He has the fewest amount of passes since like the 60s in the NFL through two games. This season is about developing Justin Fields if you can. You have to find out about him. And the only way to let that happen is to let him throw the ball. Right. Let him make those mistakes, whether he wants to or you want to or not. That means you're going to have to sacrifice from wins. I understand it's a new coach, and he's trying to build this foundation, and it's all about winning, and that's the message you want to send. But in reality, when you're building the game plan, you have to build it so that he also is the number one thing that happens each week, develop Justin Fields, whether that's through mistakes or whether that's through success. You have to develop Justin Fields each and every week, because if you don't, then you might as well just start tanking right now for the next draft pick at quarterback.
And I think you can't be afraid to let him fail at some points.
Right,
and
he has to.
Yeah, like I honestly think like Chicago needs to give this dude a break. Like give this guy room and time to develop. I think we saw with Mitch Trubisky, like they didn't let him make mistakes. They didn't let him stretch the field. This guy needs to get his confidence up. He needs to know that it's okay to maybe throw an interception every once in a while. And if we're going to jump down his throat every time he has a one or two interception game, or like that sucks. It's not conducive to developing a winner here. And we saw this week. What did you make of this whole controversy of him saying like, hey, this hurts us more than it does Bears fans.
Well,
do you think that was a straw man thing? I almost kind of feel like it was. Like it was one jerk.
He kind of
calling attention to it. He has a big platform. And then it almost kind of seemed like more people were saying, like, well,
we've got people in the chat already saying, oh, fans pay his salary. They pay him millions, like, blah, blah, blah. No.
He's already apologized. He said he didn't mean
the
way it came out.
Here's my take.
He's a young guy.
Yeah.
You want him to care about it more than you do.
Of course. If he didn't, you'd be pissed off at that.
100%. The flip side would be terrible if he came out and be like, you know what?
It hurts
you guys, but I understand. It's just
this is
loss.
The one thing that kind of struck me, Luke. I think two things can be true. One, I think we can never know how much it hurts to put that much work into it and to go up on Sunday Night Football and get de-pantsed by the Packers. I don't think we can ever know what it's like to be in that locker room unless we're former players, which we are not.
And
two, but I also think the other thing is true. I don't think Justin Fields or any other Bears player who didn't grow up in Chicago can understand how pissed off we are at losing the Packers and getting it handed to us for three decades straight. I think that's kind of where this almost kind of arose.
He should, though. I the one guy in that locker room that knows what that means, Cole Kmet. Like he,
yeah.
You know, diehard Bears fan growing up, he knows what it means to lose that game. So now Justin Fields, it wasn't the right comment. Yeah. It was a mistake. He'll move on and go from it.
But at the same time, like, we want Justin Fields. Yes. We want.
Just don't ever bring the fans into it.
Yeah, we want.
He was led into that answer too, Kevin. Like, he was led by mentioning the fans in that. And I understand
we're
all
on the same team here.
Yeah, every
come on, people.
It's
but
a whole lot of.
I pay his salary. I pay his salary.
Well, that is true. Like, I understand the fans that are.
I care more.
That are upset because they say, "Well, I care more." That's okay, but don't be mad. Like, it's just irrelevant. The whole thing is irrelevant.
Yeah, we've got bigger fish to fry.
If he throws four touchdowns this week, he's still going to be mad at him.
We got some cod.
No,
is it Fish Fry Thursday? What's going on? We got some.
I think Bragg's in the stands is watching this now while he's walking. He's on the walk with Cap to raise money for Bernie's book bank. That's awesome. What's up, Bragg's?
Yeah.
Keep the comments coming.
Robbie says his play on the field, bad. Candor with the media, bad. I don't care. I want a guy to say somewhat of what he believes. I just don't think he actually worded it correctly.
Justin, we love you.
Just didn't phrase it right.
Lonzo Ball. He will have arthroscopic knee surgery next week. He'll be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks, 8 months after his last knee surgery with torn cartilage.
Nightmare.
Luke, can the Bulls count on him at all? He's got that 4-year, $80 million deal. Not great.
I'm supposed to be Captain Positive, and you're hitting me with lightning bolts from the side, left and right. How am I supposed to be?
Yeah.
Well, the White Sox season is over. Then the next thing, hey, what about Justin Fields? They stink. And now, Lonzo Ball.
Working with what I got, Luke.
I know. That's just the way it is right now in Chicago sports. He's a key piece of the team. Can they count on him? Absolutely not. You know, not at all. He had the first knee surgery with the Bulls in January. They didn't play the rest of the game. We thought he was coming back in like six or seven weeks after that surgery. Didn't play the rest of the season. By the way, he's 25, and this is his third knee surgery already. That is not good. When he's on the court and healthy, which isn't very often, he's a difference maker for this team. Like,
he's my favorite player on the Bulls, like, when he's on the court. I love watching him.
I won't go that far, but he is a crucial part of the team. There's no question about that. Like, his three-point shot alone makes a big difference on this team. So, can they count on him? No, they're going to have to move on and pretend like he's not back, because my issue with all of this is, why is he having this surgery now? What the hell has he been doing all summer long? Mm-hmm. And I know the statement could be made like, well, they just wanted to wait and make sure. They've been doing everything they can. He's been out since January. He's had plenty of time to figure out this isn't right. Yeah. You go back to like 3 months ago where they first made the statement like, we're not sure where he's at. This does have a little smell of Scottie Pippen saying, I didn't want to ruin my summer.
Yeah.
Oof. Why is he having it the week training camp is opening? You could have had this a month ago. So now he's going to miss like 6 weeks before he can be evaluated. That doesn't mean he's back on the court in 6 weeks. That means the doctor is going to look at it in 6 weeks.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't know like how this is all going to play out.
You're
like,
not a doctor? This whole time I thought you were a doctor.
The doctor of love. That's
hey now.
It. Look. Like, if you ask me, like, my completely uninformed opinion, like, we're not seeing this dude before Martin Luther King Day. if we're lucky.
He's going to miss the first half of the season, minimum.
At least.
Minimum. Yeah, you're right. It could be a full year from knee surgery to second knee surgery to recovery.
What?
And we don't even know it's going to work. It's a arthroscopic debridement. So he had a cartilage tear, meniscus tear before. They went and tried to fix that.
Do we have diagrams, Luke?
Yeah, Luke is a doctor, apparently.
Well, I have watched Chicago Med a couple times. Now they're going to take out damaged tissue.
How did you not say
which
ER?
Could be similar to the last one. By the way, taking out damaged cartilage, if that's what they take out, is what Derrick Rose had done a couple times. Once you take out cartilage, it doesn't grow back.
No.
So the knee issue is not, long term, the knee issue is not getting better.
It sucks.
And I'm Captain Positive.
He is a gifted player. The Bulls do need him. And yeah, you could talk about Io stepping up, and he's a great player, but still a lot of stuff. I mean, Lonzo Ball was the number two pick in the draft. You know, he's a talented guy, so I don't know. Look, the Blackhawks are opening up camp. Is that a positive for you, Luke?
There it
they
is.
They open up camp today.
Here
our guys are out at Fifth Third Arena.
Can we play that?
No. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and a bunch of other guys.
I mean, that's the reality of it, right? Like, if you went up to the average person on the street right now and said, name five Blackhawks, including the coach or the broadcaster, okay. Like,
this is what we should do. Lawrence, can we bring in Casey really quickly to have her name five Blackhawks?
Oh, this is that's rude.
Not fair. That's
no,
not
I mean, it's kind of underlining what you're saying. I'm not sure that I could. I mean, I could because,
well.
I could name a few from the Hawks draft.
Right, let's do it. Let's go.
Well, does Frank Nizar count?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so him, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane.
Yep.
The coach is Luke Richardson. The broadcaster is Chris Foster.
Well, we went broadcasters, yes.
Hey, go Patrick Sharp. Patrick. Five Hawks, there it is.
Is that five?
That's five.
All right, I did it.
And Jim Cornelison.
Dang, that was kind of hard. I wanted to name more players. Darn it.
Taylor Radish, Max Domi.
Radish.
Who else you got, Lawrence?
That's it.
Kevin Korchinski.
Korchinski led the stretches
today. Great initials.
Today.
He's going to be great.
Good news, friends. Korchinski helped lead the stretches.
Yep, Korchinski. Savoie, that's Jay's guy. I forget
Jake McCabe.
He's injured.
Ian Mitchell, also injured.
Ian Mitchell. Oh, Lucas Reichel. He's the best player on the team.
Lucas Reichel. Connor Murphy.
Sure, he's still there.
We're naming some guys here on the Chicago Sports Podcast.
Right. We are.
Thanks, Casey. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Bearish Bullish.
Oh, wait, Bearish Bullish?
You got Bearish Bullish? It's our weekly segment on who's up, who's down. Obviously, one of the biggest stories this year, Luke, for the Blackhawks will be Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and the trade deadline. Are you bearish or bullish on those two guys surviving the trade deadline?
Now, again, bearish is bad. Bullish is good, right?
Yeah, bullish would be that they will survive the trade deadline.
Stock market up, stock market
actually,
down.
I can't. I'm a level stock market here because I think Kane is gone. Toews will be here. That's my guess. But I think there is a factor to the organization is kind of like, listen, we're rebuilding. We got rid of a lot of guys. We're going to tank this thing as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But we got to market. Imagine the poor marketing people there. Like, you have to say Toews and Kane. What other jerseys are they giving away right now? Like,
we forgot Seth Jones is on the team.
Seth Jones, yeah.
He has Chirac Bobby hooked me up in the
also his brother.
I'm down the middle. I think the market for those are huge contracts, but I think the market for Kane, if he plays well, somebody might be willing to do that.
I think it'll take some imagination for a contender to really kind of figure out how that
Agreed.
Works out. I'm I guess I'm bearish because if the move is there, you have to make it. So these guys are free agents after the season. You're not just going to let them walk. So I am bearish on that. By the way, this will blow your mind. This is their 16th season that they're entering.
I saw that.
Crazy.
16 seasons.
I mean, honestly, like in a lot of ways, it seems like they, you know, just got here. I think in Patrick Kane's case, he's still got a lot of great hockey and, you know.
He's only 33.
Yeah, it's nuts. We saw those guys really, coming here as 18, 19-year-old kids.
You don't see a ton of, like, hand speed lost there. Like, he still makes incredible plays.
Yeah. He's the greatest American hockey player ever.
Yes.
So. All right, Darnell Mooney as wide receiver one. Our guy has two catches for 4 yards through two games.
Is that bad?
I don't have to tell you that, Luke, because he is destroying your fantasy team.
as Captain Positive, I am bearish on this because he's not a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I love what they got in the draft pick. I think he's a really good player. He's a number one wide receiver on a bad offensive team.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney is a number two or three maybe on a good offensive team.
A hell of a
team.
Worker. I think and he's a great character not, guy.
Yes, he's going to get better. Could he develop into that? Maybe with the right quarterback. Is that going to happen this year? Well, he's going to be a number. Technically, he is a number one wide receiver, but he's not one on a great team.
The Bears not have yet. $100 million to work with this offseason. They go out and get like a guy who actually should command $25 or $30 million. then you're going to see what Darnell Mooney is, right? Yeah. And that's no knock on him whatsoever.
No, not
at all. I'm bearish as him as your number one wide receiving option, but hopefully he gets better. I think I think he's going to be better for your fantasy team going forward, Luke. So
you had
one game in a monsoon.
I'll
and
be
then,
honest with you.
Yeah.
He's ready to hit the waiver wires. One more week.
Waiver wires.
I don't think he could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's on my – it's only a 10-team league, so he's on my bench right now. He's not playing. I went with Waddle of the Dolphins last week instead.
Tommy Waddle?
Yeah, Tom Waddle. Jalen Waddle, isn't it?
Correct.
I played him. That was the right move, and this week he will play again instead of Darnold.
And he does the Waddle after he scores touchdowns.
Which is cool.
It's very cute.
All right, bearish, bullish. Devin Hester getting into the Hall of Fame on the second ballot. He, Olin Krutz, Lance Briggs, and Peanut Tillman were all named among 120 nominees for the 2023 class this week. Hester will be – this is a second chance to try to get in. Do you think he's getting in?
I do think he will get in this time. I think it's going to be Devin Hester. You know, there's always the argument is he didn't play a real position. He's a gadget guy. He's like a kicker or a punter, but he's the best to ever do it. He changed the way – well, he didn't change the way teams were going, but teams certainly readjusted their game plan kicking to him. I'm one of those people that I don't like people saying, this guy's not a Hall of Famer. You're letting everybody in. Devin Hester was a great player. It's the Hall of Fame. We're not talking about getting into heaven here, folks. Let him into whatever he wants to get into. Like, it's just a place where people go to look at plaques of the great players that have played the game. You're telling me he wasn't a great player? He was a great player on the football field. Was he a good receiver? No. But I'm willing to let him into Canton. It's not the end of the world. They can always put another wing on if you have too many players.
I'm bullish on him getting in, but I think it's going to be close. Joe Thomas, Darrell Revis, James Harrison, and Dwight Freeney are all among the first-time eligibles. Only five guys go in every year. And then of the guys who haven't gotten in recently, there's also Andre Johnson, Jared Allen, DeMarcus Ware, and Zach Thomas. So I think it's going to be close. I think he'll get in because he's like a unique player and people are going to want to vote for him, but it's going to be close. Finally.
Wait, Bragg says, if you revolutionize the game you play, you're a Hall of Famer.
I agree,
period.
Braggs.
And he's also walking 20 miles on a torn meniscus, and he's fat, he said. That's another thing he said. So I'm going to put that on screen.
Torn meniscus.
I don't want him to just. Man. Yeah, I didn't know he had a torn meniscus. That's
Braggs will be out at our CHGO tailgate, torn meniscus at all. So
oh, wow.
Buy your tickets. All right, finally, Vikings beating out Packers for the NFC North. Week two was a little bit of a script change because the Packers recovered. The Vikings went and got killed out in Philadelphia. So real quick, bearish or bullish?
I'm bullish on that. I think the Eagles are going to be one of the best teams in the conference, and I think the Bears are going to be one of the worst teams in the conference. So it's who they played. I think the Vikings win the division this year.
Bullish. I agree. All right, this football season, PointsBet is bringing you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same-game parlay, bet on the next drive to be a touchdown, and cash out on your live second-half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. You can build the perfect live same-game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet Lightning Bets. So whether you are on the move or on the couch, do it live with PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Our next partner has a product I use every day. I started taking AG1 because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and an optimized immune system. Now I've been on it for 6 months, and I love it. Doesn't taste super healthy, but it is. It has a kind of mild tropical taste, and I look forward to taking it in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supporting, ready for this? Your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get a boost of energy from it, so I take it first thing in the morning on an empty stomach and giddy up. I didn't take it today. I'm dragging around here. You guys are like, what's wrong with Stucky? Well, that's what's wrong. Didn't have my AG1. Lifestyle friendly, too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with the AG1, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. recommended by professional athletes. It has more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health. Arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One little scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. You don't have to take a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Or maybe Bears, because it's almost, you know, Bears are in season two. To take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right. Time for Stuck and Duck. Got a fun topic today. We're going to be optimistic. Which Chicago team of the eight has the brightest future? And we're going to be joined by Casey right now. Casey, hey. What's up? Casey, hello. You're going to help us build a list from 8 to 1 in terms of brightest future. Lawrence, I also want you to contribute.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Look, all 8 teams right now, I don't think really anyone is on the doorstep of a championship. The Sky were there this year, came up short, and now they're going to be facing some things in the offseason. So I think everyone's kind of like in the same kind of place. I think every fan base is hopeful, but things have to happen. Things have to fall into place. But let's just rank things. I mean, I really kind of want to know like which fan base should be the most hopeful. So I think Lawrence has a great graphic that we're going to bring up, and we're going to work through this together. Sound good?
Yeah, let's figure this out. Okay, let's see.
Raw Dogs got it. Okay, oh, look at that. That
team
is sharp.
With the brightest future. Okay. All right. Does anyone want to throw out?
We're going to start at 8.
Who doesn't have a great future right now?
Of them. No.
I was going to say that's – we can't
Lawrence,
put
you
everybody
want to start?
Eight.
You have the mouse to drag it in.
Yeah, oh, I do. Who do we want to start at the bottom?
Ooh. Yes, we're starting at the bottom. We're gonna put some suspense in here.
Honestly,
and look, this is gonna be fluid. Like if we want to switch things around,
okay. Okay. So
let's
the Blackhawks,
go while we're young.
The Blackhawks are currently awful, but they do kind of have a bright future. So I don't want to put them at 8. The Fire, it's the same old with them.
Yeah,
and I just think I'm putting them at 8. I'm sorry.
I like the Fire's owner. He seems to want to win.
Yes, he has all of the money in the world.
He's putting money into it.
Just do it. Lawrence, just do it.
Just do it.
When you said Chicago Fire, I thought of the TV show in Severide.
You've got to stop watching those bad NBC shows. They're all bad. Stop watching those.
Is he still on? Yeah. Severide, is he still live on that show?
The problem with the Fire is that their owner has all this money, but he's kind of doing it like Reinsdorf, where he keeps the same idiot in charge. So, you know, that's a problem. So we'll put them at 8. Anyone have any disagreements there?
I agree.
I'm good with that.
Ding. Okay. Are we going?
Make sure you're hitting our comments up too. Let us know where you think some of these things should go.
I have to look at comments.
Jack says Bulls at 8.
Yeah.
No. I understand.
Baloney Fonseca says Fire 8, so he agrees.
Fire stink out loud. Yes, that is true. Okay. Right. What do we got here? At 7. We're going that way. Is that what we're doing?
Now we're going to 7.
So you know I. I actually kind of think the Sky are at 7.
That's what I was going to say.
I think they're up against it.
I was going to say that too.
Oh, God.
Mighty have fallen. Just because they lost in the playoffs or because what's coming in the offseason?
What's coming? They got free agents coming up.
Yeah.
Courtney Vandersloot is a free agent. Azrae Stevens is. Emma Mieseman. They're probably gone. Yeah. Candace Parker is old.
But she's still.
Ellie Quigley is old.
If you had Vandersloot, Quigley, and Parker coming back, it'd be their 12th, 14th, and 15th season in the WNBA.
Save us, Kalia Copper. You're our only hope.
Kalia is amazing. Currently hooping it up in the World Championships or something.
Now, I will say James Wade is a huge positive.
Yes.
He's a great coach, a good GM. Like, how do you pivot? But, look, the WNBA is like the NBA. You need stars to win.
However, I'm going to say there's no way they're 7. You know why?
Why?
There's only 12 WNBA teams. They have a better shot. Just inherently, then.
All right, so we'll push them off.
It's shitty Cubs or White Sox or
it's the
Bears.
Team. No, it's the team that Lawrence mentioned. It's the Blackhawks because they want to be number 7 on that list. And I'm talking about, like, you could say future is bright. Prospects are prospects. They are tanking. This is tanks for nothing this season, and they are in it for Connor Bedard. They want the number 1 overall pick. Now, if they get the number 1 overall pick,
we do this next year. They're number one.
They shoot to number 1 because he's supposed to be that great of a prospect, that elite of a prospect at center.
I just feel like, isn't their future bright as is based on the fact that identified they're fully tanking, and this is they can only go up. So
no.
Do you know for sure that any of the players currently on their roster are going to be on the team the next time they're good? You don't.
Well, Seth Jones has an 8-year deal, so it's probably him.
Taves and Kane are getting older. They probably won't be on the team. Taves already said he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And
they've scrubbed the slate clean, but that's all they are is a clean slate. Let's put them at 7.
If you put Blackhawk 7, then 6 is definitely Sky.
What about the Cubs?
Yes.
What about the Cubs? What are the Cubs doing?
No, hold on.
How is there a bright future on the north side?
I guess you haven't
seen
the prospects.
They have lots of money. They have good prospects.
And they're going to have tons of money, hopefully, this offseason.
They have a pretty good infrastructure in the front office.
And when Shohei's traded.
They haven't buried themselves under a Javi Baez or Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo contract.
They're doing it right. Now, they are.
They're 5.
They're further in the process than the Blackhawks are. The Blackhawks are at
7,
but you have to put the Cubs ahead of that. Because they've already started that process. They've started developing some young guys. Justin Steele looks good. Nico Horner looks great. Seiya Suzuki looks pretty good.
Keegan
and then
Thompson
you have this stretch of pitchers that are coming up.
So we're saying Lawrence, put Sky at number 6. So we've got Fire, Blackhawks, Sky.
Ay-yi-yi.
So for 5, we are?
Probably Cubs.
I'm not that low on the Cubs.
No.
I would say I don't know enough about the Red Stars to be perfectly honest about
Red
like Mallory Pugh, I know, is on the team.
This is why I invited Lawrence, because he can talk about.
They're
the
in
Red
a smaller
Stars.
League. They have a better shot to win.
Mallory
Pugh
is an MVP candidate.
That's why I think Cubs are 5 and Red Stars are 4.
I mean, what about the White Sox?
I would argue then that the Bears should be at 5 because if Justin Fields is not your quarterback, it's reset and rewind all over again. Because if he's good. Great. You have a ton of money in free agency next year because all those dead contracts are gone and you have a new stadium coming and blah, 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 blah. All those things are positive. But you have to have a quarterback in the NFL. And if it's not Justin Fields, which we don't know yet, but if it's not Justin Fields, holy mackerel, we're doing this all over again.
You know,
but you have the potential of a quarterback. You have $100 million to work with this next offseason. You've got a new stadium coming up.
Aaron Rodgers still plays.
You may have solved the offensive line, or at least you're getting there.
You know, Jack Brown has.
You had a great draft class.
Jack Brown in the chat says there's no way in hell the Sox have a better future than the Cubs. I mean, if we just talked about the window closing, like 20 minutes ago.
In my list in my head, I have the Sox and Cubs at either 2 and 3, and I could put either team either place.
Wow, that high.
I just think it's crazy to think that a baseball team that where there's 30 teams – and, like, they've never done anything, either of these teams. Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
are
we talking about a bright future, as in they're going to be in the playoffs and contending and those things? Or are we talking about the only thing that counts is a championship and the only way you get there?
I mean, yes. I guess a consistent deep playoff runs is a bright future.
Right. So if they're getting to, you know, win divisions and competing and winning playoff series, I think both the Cubs and the Sox could be in that much sooner than I could see the Bears doing it if Justin Fields isn't good.
Oof. So
we're saying Bears number 5.
Bears 5.
That low?
Yeah, I mean they're pretty much a
make the
terrible
case.
Did you see that game? That
I just.
We don't know if the coach is good. We don't know that yet.
It's too early to say.
I feel like the Bears are 4, but I'm not sure who that makes 5.
Well, then for me it's the Red Stars because I don't know where else to put them.
Yeah, but that's just because you don't know who they are.
Right, I don't know where else to put them. I don't know where else to put them. You tell me they're number 1. Tell me why they're 1.
I would have put Bears at like 3. With optimism.
Ooh. Oh, Casey, come on. What are you
doing?
The Red Stars have been in the final. What?
Yes.
Were they back-to-back finals?
What was it, 19 and 20, maybe?
Yeah.
Bears 5,
they're still
Red
not
Stars
drawing.
Four.
They still don't have, like, a big part of the,
well, right.
the Chicago sports consciousness.
Sure, the league could fold. That's not a very bright future.
Yes.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it.
Financially, their future is not as good as the Bears. If we're talking about financial future, the Bears are high on
the Bears
that list.
Are number 1.
I don't know. I mean,
Let's leave the Bears at number 5.
Okay.
Yikes.
So.
Oh, man, that's going to make some people angry.
So we have not talked about the Bulls right now. And I think
mean, it's kind of clear they're 1, which is
are
scary,
they?
Because, like, how are they
we really going to put the Bulls at number 1?
I don't know. I'm going to just have to just think Big Dave is going to make
Let's see what people think in the comments.
Someone said the Bulls should be lower. Jack Brown said the Bulls should be lower than
the
Bears.
He said the Bulls are mid.
Because he thinks. Is that because he thinks Justin Fields is the real deal? If you believe that, if you believe Fields really is going to be an elite quarterback, then the Bears should be up near the top of the list because they're going to have money, and then they would have their quarterback, which is a big thing, and they got a new stadium, all those things. I think
put the Bears three.
That's what I thought.
Oh, boy. Bear,
you could
I thought Bears
put,
three, Bulls one.
Then who like
Red Stars two.
I go Red Bulls, Stars. White Sox, Cubs.
This is hard.
But I could easily put the Cubs ahead of the problem with the Bulls, right? The problem with the Bulls is being in the middle of the NBA is basketball hell.
Correct.
Trying to get out of that middle space. But if you're saying their future is bright, I do think they're a playoff team. And so
do the Bulls have the best front office in the city? I think that's kind of really what this comes down
maybe
to.
Maybe. I like I trust.
Who do you trust most?
I do trust them maybe the most. But that's even wishy-washy because Patrick Williams is their draft pick. We don't know. Lonzo Ball can't stay on the court. He's their move. Vooch is their move, and the guy couldn't hit a shot in the postseason. So I actually like what they're doing, but that side of me starts saying, what are you talking about? Like, how are they getting from it's, there? Unless they get Kevin Durant, how are they going from there to
it seems like there? It seems like they're adults in the room, which is good.
Yeah.
Well,
They've made bad decisions, but I think that they're smart enough with the cap, and they've got the infrastructure in that front office to pivot and kind of get out of this, I think.
It won't be easy, but I agree.
This is a lot harder than I thought
it
would
be. Yeah, okay, so
this
just really going hard. Through the chat here, you know, Baloney Fonseca says the Red Stars are a very solid team. They should be no lower than three. I'm kind of with him there. Jack Brown, he's saying the Bulls should be lower than the Bears and that they're a mid-team, and he says that they have virtually no shot at championship because, like Luke just said, they're kind of stuck in that middle area there.
Okay, comments. Who's won then?
So coming into this year, the White Sox were the closest at elevating CHGO to a title in the first year of our media organization.
Unquestionably.
So do you, I mean, does that make them one?
No, because look at what's happened to this. They've totally just tanked the season and, like, fallen apart.
If it was any other front office, I'd say, okay, well, they'll just figure it out and do something this offseason, but you just can't have
the
faith.
I'll tell you what. Nobody's going
to
like this, especially
but the Bulls are owned by the guy that owns the White Sox.
Why are you not saying Cubs? Why is nobody saying Cubs? They're the one thing trending up. Tell me what team is trending up right now. It's not the White Sox. It's not the Bears, necessarily. We don't know where they're trending. The Bulls are sort of horizontal, waiting for a heartbeat to see what they've got. It might be the Cubs.
If we put the Cubs over the White Sox right now at 1-2, the entire South Side is going to break the door down and carry us out of here.
Duke Eaton says the Sox should be one because they have the talent, just need some changes when it comes to leadership at the managerial standpoint and a roster tune-up.
I agree with Kirk. Cubs have to prove they're going to spend first. I don't believe them.
Oh, yeah, but the Sox have to prove they're going to be willing to make that move and make the front office move that matters and spend, too. So it's like I see both those teams are like they're like 1A, 1B, the Cubs, White Sox. The Sox are two bold moves away from being championship contenders. The Cubs are three or four spending moves and some of these young players coming up. I'm willing to maybe give the Sox the nod, but it's 1A, 1B for me, and then the Bulls 3.
Maybe we just make the Red Stars.
That's right, baby. I'm telling you, every year, as long as the league's still existent, they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to have a shot.
I still think you go Bulls 1, Cubs 2, Bears 3, Sox 4.
I mean, that's crazy.
Red Stars 5.
The Bulls are the most likely playoff team out of that list.
I mean, Jack makes the Bulls are currently a play-in caliber team.
Correct. Yeah.
But the most likely out of all of our teams to be in the playoffs this season.
Agreed.
Yeah, but the Red Stars are in the playoffs every year. You can't put the Red Stars below.
But we're still talking about potential who's got the brightest future, not necessarily who's going to make the playoffs next.
Right. Well, I mean, how
is
far
future,
is the future?
Like, yeah, like 1 year? Or
if it's this year, 4 years it's the now? Bulls. If it's winning a championship, it's the Cubs or White Sox. Take your pick, whatever side of town you're on, that's what you're going to believe.
I mean, I don't think the Bears have any shot at a championship anytime soon.
No, unless Justin Fields all of a sudden develops into the real deal and they have all this money in the offseason.
What if he goes out and tears up the Texans and we do this next week?
No, it's still not.
I mean, what, every week we're going to go like, oh.
Well, that's what Justin, we do in Chicago. Justin, we've already talked about it.
What if they lose to Lovie Smith and the Texans, who are supposed to be the worst team in the NFL? Then you're going to come back and be like, Texans. Well, the Bears should be last on that list.
Great question, Luke. All four phases.
Bulls. I actually think we go Bulls number one because I do like that front office. I trust them. Yep. Can we do this?
Yep, we're done.
Bulls, then
we
Cubs or Sox. Take your
pick. We have to make the call.
I want to put the Bears at five, honestly.
I agree.
Yeah,
Bears five. Put the Bears and back Cubs to Sox five. Have to be 2-3.
How did they even get moved to three?
I don't know. I think
so. We're going to put Cubs.
I want Red Stars at two.
Lawrence, you're pretty agnostic in this whole in the Cubs Sox. So.
Cubs Sox. I mean, like the Sox clearly right now have a better talent on the roster, but like, are they? I don't know. This season has soured me so heavily on this team. Like Luke said earlier, how they're just bad base running. Like all that shit pisses me off too much. So. I don't know. Do they have a bright future?
I don't know.
If they get rid of Tony, please get rid of Tony. Stay healthy, stay away. I don't know.
So do the Red Stars go at number two?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
And then the Cubs, I think the Sox
go at three. You can't put the Cubs in front of the Sox.
The Sox have more major league talent right now. The Cubs have more minor league talent. So I'm willing to accept that. If you want to say Sox, they just have to be willing to make those moves, and I'm not sure they're willing to make those moves, or at least some of them.
After a year like this year, when there was such high potential and like everyone was psyched, the Cleveland Guardians went through this too. You just, and then it's over. And then it takes a couple more years. And then it's like a big, peaks and valleys. So I don't.
Peaks and valleys.
Right. I would say Cubs over Sox.
Let us know what you think. I'm sure people are going to, once we put this out on social, people are going to go nuts.
Officially, just to for the podcast listeners, yeah. Bulls are one, Red Stars two, Sox three, Cubs four.
Debatable.
Bears 5, Sky 6, Blackhawks 7, and Fire. Chicago Fire 8. Ugh.
And honestly, though, I could actually see like the Fire like kind of retooling in the next 2 years.
And a lot to do.
And some of that stuff coming through.
I mean, they're losing.
6, 7, and 8 are correct. 1 through 5 are almost interchangeable.
Yeah.
You can make an argument for every team on there, 1 through 5. And you could also argue against 1 through 5.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Ryan Green tweeted us and said the CHGO sports team has the brightest future.
Oh, no, isn't that special?
Probably true.
Ryan Green, thank you, sir.
Thank you,
please,
Ryan.
Come take pictures and videos of us again. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, make sure to tell us what you think we got right, what we got wrong, and subscribe to the Chicago Sports Podcast.
You know what should be number one? I just thought of it. Uh-oh. Angry Chicago sports fans.
Winner.
Number one. You're going to be winning for the next 10 years.
I got to say there have been better times in the city's sports history to start a new digital sports network, but
yeah,
we do what we can.
Yep.
All right. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Have you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It is all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. And when you buy it through our link in the description of every show on YouTube, you help CHGO grow.
Yeah, look at this. I'm going to the cool. link right now.
Also, you just really won't find a better deal. The Sox guys went out and got great seats for the last two games. Unfortunately, they didn't see anything, but they got three seats in the club level, which is a great seating experience for $39 total.
That was for three tickets, pretty solid.
Virtually a playoff game.
Yeah, and if you're coming out to the CHGO tailgate on Sunday,
you don't have tickets,
you go through the link. If you fire this thing up at 11:15, you might be able to get in that stadium for probably under $100 or so.
Oh, for sure. I would think. I think people would be selling at that point. So, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Cool site. Pretty fun to look at. So.
By the way, I've changed my mind on the order of Cubs Sox and that. Like, how can you put the Sox ahead of the Cubs? They just lost what is essentially another playoff series. They haven't won a playoff series since 2005.
Yeah.
Why would their future be brighter? They have no farm system to trade for.
Oh, boy.
Trade from.
We've closed that segment, Luke.
Oh, sorry, we're done.
It cannot be
we're
changed.
On. We can't.
It cannot be
I
changed.
I thought we didn't have rules here. I thought there were no rules.
No rules, just right.
There's a South Side coming to get you. Did you hear the door open?
He'd probably agree with me. Who is it, Herb?
If you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in our description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right.
Love
so usually segment two, we do Casey's thing.
You push Casey's it back to
thing. What does that mean? You mean
Casey's thing?
Scroll stoppers.
Oh, let's close it out with scroll stoppers.
Casey, I have to tell you a little story. So I showed my daughter Kenzie her appearance on last week's podcast, and
did she love it?
She loved it, and then she's like, "What?" Then Karina said, "What does Casey do at CHGO?" Aww. And Kenzie said, "She does videos. She does social media, and she also does scroll stoppers."
Oh, that's so cute. She knows.
It was amazing.
I love it. That's awesome. All right, guys.
What is scroll stoppers for people who don't know?
Scroll stoppers, if you're new to the show, is just our little segment on the show where we talk about what makes you stop scrolling mindlessly on social media and check things out, take a closer look.
Man, who came up with that name? That's a pretty good name.
I think it was Law. Yeah. I think it was you.
Yeah,
it was.
Law on the draw.
Thank you.
Scroll stoppers, good segment name. All right, guys, this video went viral this week. It's a Bears fan watching the end of the Bears-Packers game last Sunday. His name is Dion Brooks. Mojo Brooks on Twitter.
It's also very fake. Let's just get that out.
It's probably fake.
It's a rewind DVR.
He's an actor.
He's
very talented.
But I've been here. It's good. I've been here.
Basically, to set it up, he's in full Bears gear, coat, jersey, wristband, hat, and he is just devastated over the end of that game and that loss, like as we all were. But his girlfriend kind of pokes the bear, no pun intended, and she teases him for being really into it. So we can take a listen.
Just stupid.
Why
you,
do they
want to
know
you, how to
feel this
till
time?
Is you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Is you crying?
Go on, leave me alone. You know I'm watching the game. No, I'm not crying.
I told you they was finna lose. I don't know why you acting like this.
Why is you talking about my business?
But they damn bad with 10 points.
They cheated, though. They cheated. We would have won. They cheated.
You not hot with all this stuff on?
Yeah. Hey, man, why are you coming at you? I told you, when they lose, don't talk to me for the rest of the week. Why is you bothering me?
Whoa, what about the wristbands? You act like they finna throw you in a game to save the last couple of points for you.
Would you leave me alone?
You don't even cry for me like this.
I only know you for 2 months. This has been my team for 22 years. Yeah.
That's the line right there.
Win, lose, or draw. This one I'm at. Get out. I don't even want you here.
What? I know you.
Get out.
They need to recruit you if it's this serious.
Get out. For real. I'm on the team. I'm with the team. Get out. Come on.
All right. Okay.
I'm on the team. I'm with the team. Like, this really hit home for our GM, Jake Flanagan. He feels the exact same way. And even if it is fake and he's a good actor and so is she, it's really funny when she says they need to recruit you if it's this serious.
Amazing.
That is a fake thing. I think that guy's actually a content creator/comedian. Pretty funny.
Yeah, we should have him on, by the way.
Probably should. I've been there before. Like, I've been in relationships, including the one with my wife, where, like, after a game, I've just been laying on the floor, just, like, completely spent. And she's like, what's wrong with you? We had people over for the Final Four game in 2014, where my Wisconsin Badgers lost on a 3-pointer in the last second. And we had people over, and I was, like, literally on the floor. Like, we had almost made the title game. And she's like, get up, we have people over. And they're just kind of looking at me like, this happened.
I know this much. If it is not fake and it's a real video, that guy cares more about the Bears than Justin Fields.
Oh, come on. Don't go back to that.
It's all full circle. See, I bring it all around.
Luke.
It's so funny. Yeah. It's a funny video.
It is a funny video. I thought it was really, really.
It's better than just watching like another fake one where like someone just smashes their TV.
Right.
Yeah.
He looked like he was genuinely upset, even though, you know, those could be crocodile tears. It was funny.
Why is Jerry Reinsdorf trending on Twitter?
Ooh. Probably not a good reason.
Oh, no.
Denzel Washington, Jeff.
All right, guys, our next clip is the Bulls unveiling their Motorola partnership for the 2022-23 jerseys this season. On Tuesday, they announced this with a video of Ayo Dosunmu, and you can check that out right here.
The Bulls jersey is more than just a jersey. When I put the Bulls jersey on, it just feels different.
Hello, Moto.
Oh, yeah. Give me
Hello,
that.
Moto.
Hello, Moto. It's 2005 again.
Love it.
I don't know. Like, is Motorola still a company?
That's what I was going to ask. They're a Chicago-based company.
I mean, are they, though, at this
they
point?
They are.
What do they make now, though? They don't make the Moto Razor anymore.
Do you still have the Razor, Luke?
No, but that, well, you know what? I probably have it in a box somewhere. But I don't use it, it's although I am of jealous of those new phones that came out. That
I think I still have. I should have brought it in. I think I have it in a drawer somewhere. Or in
I
like
do.
A,
I definitely have it somewhere.
A box in a basement, maybe.
So Motorola, Chicago-based company, kudos to them. They do also sponsor the Fire jersey, so another team in Chicago. The Bulls will debut this jersey on October 4th during their preseason game against the Pelicans. And the fans seem to be pretty, you know, excited about it. They're excited to see Io in a jersey. It's pretty well received by the fans.
It was a good clip. Good.
They make
clip.
The NFL headsets, maybe.
Sure. Maybe what do we think of that logo? It's almost
they have
like
a lot of
patents,
a lot of technology. I mean, they're here to stay, Luke.
Yeah, it looks like Acura, the Acura logo.
It's like
kind of wish it was a Vienna Beef or Portillo's.
But I mean, I'll say this though, it's better than Zenni, right? I mean, they were talking about this on the Bulls.
Zenni Optical.
Yes, it's a real yes.
You know, agreed. That was like that, like kind of a light blue, which kind of clashed with the red. Although it was the Chicago blue, so you know, I guess that works. But
should be Walgreens.
Yeah, sure. Like the
Nationals
Nationals
/ Walgreens.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. I take it. Yeah, what the hell? It's fine.
Our last clip for today is our CHGO clip of the week.
Ooh, clip of the week.
This is our clip of the week on the CHGO Bulls show. Matt Peck, Big Dave, Will Gottlieb were discussing the Justin Fields comments that we discussed at the top of the show that he made earlier in the week. And I tweeted this too, but Peck has some strong opinions. You see Will trying to keep the peace and Big Dave does a interesting accent.
Anyone mad at Justin Fields for what he said today is an idiot. And I will hear none of it from any of you.
Dude,
a quarterback saying that me and my 52 teammates in there care more than a fan does. He's right. He's not wrong when he said we're in there working our tails off. We're on that practice field working our tails off. Blood, sweat, and tears out on the field just now. We care more than you. Bears fans or Bulls fans, if Zach LaVine had said that or DeMar had said that after a tough loss, they are correct to say that, and any Chicago sports fan has a problem with what Justin Fields said today is a freaking idiot. Go home. Stop talking.
Freaking idiot.
The second he said that, I was watching it live. The second he said it, I said, oh, no. And I rewound it on the DVR, and I said, oh, no, he didn't say that. They about to get my guy. And he's right. Everything Matt said, I agree with. But I know how this town works, and I know the second he said that, that was on the way out, you know, immediately.
Like,
we need that on a soundboard.
I get it. I'm with you guys. But, like, never say anything that could even be misconstrued to sound like it's you against the fans.
And there you have it. All three opinions.
All three correct opinions.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Like, mostly correct. I agree. It's crazy to think Justin Fields should care less or whatever. What about Allen Robinson last year? Did he care more than some Bears fans? Depends on the player. Depends on the player when you're saying it. Just remember, I do think Justin Fields should care more than us. That's okay, and that's right.
I think
I don't think
okay.
Allen Robinson cared more than some Bears fans last year.
I think the Bears are going to be okay. I don't clip this and show this to me in like 5 or 6 weeks. But
uh-oh.
Save
it, Law.
It blows my mind that people like just – how good we felt last week after the 49ers, how bad we feel this week. Like, the 2022 season is about maintaining an even keel. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows.
We hope there's
probably
going to be
more lows than highs.
Correct.
But this is the start of a journey. And if you bear down on Justin Fields and get in that dude's head, Luke, you and I covered Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman got here. He's like a pretty good guy. Rex Grossman overall is a good guy.
Yeah, agreed.
And he was very, you know, there was a give and take with him in the media, and it was like kind of a good thing. And you saw after that Arizona game where he threw four interceptions and Devin Hester and Brian Urlacher had to bail him out, you saw it switch. Like, the wall went up, and he clearly wasn't having a good time coming out and doing the stuff and dealing with questions. I'm not saying, like, had people not got on him, like, Rex Grossman would have become a good quarterback, but it didn't help.
No.
And Justin Fields doesn't need the city in his ear. He doesn't need us contributing to his doubts. Like, we need to pump this dude up. And that's not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback or that he's going to be the answer. But, like, we have to be part of the solution, not the problem.
Even if you're crazy enough to be angry at him, forgive him and move on.
Right.
So that was our CHGO clip of the week. That will do it for Scroll Stoppers.
Wait, real quick. I just want to go back to Sean Caselli here in the chat. I didn't see this during. He said, can Motorola make a bionic knee for Lonzo?
That's I love that comment. That was a great comment.
Good comment.
I love that.
Also, good avatar there with Sammy. That's clearly from 98, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's a lot of home runs.
Yeah, Sammy doesn't look like that anymore.
He does not.
So who does? If you guys liked what you saw, follow us on CHGO_sports on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We are on all social media channels, on YouTube. We're having fun with some YouTube shorts, too. Yeah. That's been a good time. So thank you guys for checking out Scroll Stoppers.
Thank you.
Before we go real quick, Luke, we've got a question for you. So Aaron Judge is making a run. He's into the 60s in home runs. He didn't hit 61 yet, right? He just hit 60.
No, he's at 60.
He's at 60. Okay. Everyone's not making a big deal. It's the American League record. Do you care about the American League record? Is this a big deal?
Well, I mean, he's doing it in an era where I believe it's cleaner than it was when Bonds did it, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're willing to suspend Fernando Tatis, you're not protecting anybody in baseball. So I think Judge, and he's also doing it in an era where there's a dead baseball. Like, nobody's even close to hitting what. He's like 20 ahead of the next guy.
Kyle Schwarber. Maybe you've heard of him.
I'll be honest with you. It's pretty damn impressive to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll say this. When he hit 60, that was in that crazy ninth inning comeback against the poor Pirates.
Yeah, with the grand slam.
And then, yeah, Giancarlo Stanton hits the grand slam to win it. That was his 27th. So he's not even halfway to Aaron Judge.
Does it make him the true home run king if he gets to 62? Or is that Sammy Sosa slander and Barry Bonds slander?
I mean, God.
No, because I think everybody was cheating back then, or the majority of players were cheating. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you that this feels cleaner than both of those, and I will consider it one of the greatest home run seasons of all time. That's all you can say about it. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Right. He's also got a shot at, if they bring a regular ball back next year, he will have a shot at 73.
That'd be fun.
With the Cubs.
That'll be even better.
Future's bright. Let's go.
And if they sign Aaron Judge, we will put them at number one. So, hey, this has been a fun episode of the Chicago Sports Podcast. If you like us, please rate and review us. If you listen to us on another feed, because we put this into the Bears and the Bulls and the Blackhawks, when appropriate, make sure you go over to our feed and subscribe, rate and review us. We are here every Thursday morning. We try to have a lot of fun, and hopefully you had a lot of fun, too. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kevin Kaduk. For Luke Stuckmeyer, Casey Standahar, and Lawrence Benedetto, we will see you next Thursday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.